Can you see me fine? I don't see myself, but I see you perfectly.
I don't see you.
You don't see me?
No.
You don't?
No, yeah, I just see your email.
But you don't see me on the screen?
I don't see your face. I see your, like...
Well, what can we do here? Share screen or what?
If you move your mouse and move it to...
Host disabled participant screen sharing. It says host disabled participants.
If you move your mouse and then it just says video, have a little video icon in the left corner.
Start video?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. I can see you.
Okay. All right. That's better, isn't it?
Yeah.
For you to see me? Okay. Good. Okay.
Okay. Awesome. So, yeah, we can start with question number one. Can you tell me about when and where you were born?
I was born in Woodland, Yolo County. I'm very proud of that. Okay. I'm a big booster for Yolo County. I think it's a wonderful place to live.
Do you still, are you living in Woodland right now, or are you still in, are you in Davis now?
Well, I moved to, when I grew up in Woodland, I wanted to get out of there as soon as possible after high school, because it's a very small town at that time when I was born in 1926. So in the 30s, I was growing up there. And so first I went to UC Davis and then in home economics, and then they did not even have the upper division in home economics. So then I went to UC Berkeley for 2 years. Then I was a teaching assistant at Cornell University in food and nutrition. And then eventually I moved into child development and went to Bank Street College of Education in New York City. So that's how I, and it's all in home economics. So I'm a home economics major.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So were you born like 1926, if I heard that correctly?
What is it?
1926?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
Lived a long time.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
Yeah. It's awesome.
That I've seen so much in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how long have you lived in Davis or Woodland?
Okay. So after I... finished at Cornell, okay. I still wanted to explore and move around and see the rest of the world. This is after the Second World War. And so I did travel. I worked with the Quakers in Mexico and also in International Voluntary Service for Peace in Wales. And then I came back and worked in the school district in San Francisco. But then from there, I also lived in Rome for a year, the Overseas School of Rome, and taught preschool for a year. So when I came back, I had a friend in New York City, and she said, oh, come and stay with me for a little while. So that's when I started to live in New York City, because I met my former husband there. And so I was in New York City for 7.5 years working in childcare.
Wow.
Daycare. So then I also, now eventually it says, how did I get started?
Okay.
My motivation for journey, League of Women Voters. Okay. So then we moved to upstate New York because my former husband was in a library service for the state. And we lived in Albany. And at that time, I met... in my neighborhood, a friend, and she was in League of Women Voters. And so the League has their main, let's say, way of focusing on any subject is to have a major study, okay, of the subject. And I was always very interested in mental health issues. So the League at that time in Tompkins County, Albany, New York, they wanted to study mental health issues. So I joined the study group of about 6 or 7 women. And I would say it's almost an equivalent to getting a master's in a certain subject, because we interviewed people, we did research on the mental health issues in Tompkins County. And so I enjoyed all of that kind of activity with other women. And then we have the next step after you have studied and presented it to your local league is you have a consensus. You inform all the members of what's involved. You have a consensus, which means everybody has to agree, okay, that this is the position that we're going to take on mental health issues in our county. So I like the whole process. It's very nonpartisan, which is, of course, extremely important for league members. Mostly we do not even know, you know, who nobody even says I'm such and such or such and such. Okay, so we're all focused just on the subject at hand and do as much research as we are able to do, and then write it all up and present it to our local members of our league. So I think there are maybe 25, 30 people in the league at that time.
Oh, wow. So this was the league in New York, right?
Yes, I lived there for altogether about 17 years in New York City and Upper State New York and Ithaca.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty cool. So how long were you part of the league? So like 17 years in New York, are you?
Oh, well, then when I came to Davis, I started a preschool here in the 1970s, 78. And then eventually I started teaching at the Woodland High School in careers with children. And I also taught a few classes at Woodland Community College, also in child development and conflict resolution, family services, that kind of thing. Okay. Effective Parenting was the name of the class, which I really enjoyed teaching.
Awesome. That sounds cool. Let's see. So were you part of the league in Davis then, or Woodland, when you came back from New York?
Uh-huh. I moved to Davis.
Okay. Do you know what year you moved to?
In 1969. Absolutely, I know what year.
Okay.
August 3rd, 1969. I thought I'd never come back to Davis because it's so hot in the summertime, but now I thoroughly love Davis. I can handle the heat, and it's a wonderful place to live. I wouldn't live anyplace else. I looked around. It's the best place for me.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice. It's a good community.
Yes.
Yeah. And did you join the Davis League, if I'm understanding?
Yes, I'm a member. I became a member right away. But then since I was involved in teaching and had my two young children, my family, I just attended some meetings, but I was not an active participant. And there are many people in Davis who are members of the league, and they promote the program of the league, but they just are not that active. But anyway, they benefit, you know, they get the news and can take action on anything they want, and they also, of course, help with the funding of the local league, which is very important too.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. So would you say you're more active in New York than in Davis?
Well, at that time, I wasn't working. Well, I was working part-time, but I could, the activities were in the evening, mm-hmm. but what I understand from all I've done with the archives in Yolo County, the league here started in 1958, and it was they had newspaper publicity practically every week on some kind of thing that they were working on. So at that time in the 1950s, well, that's 1958, 1960s, many women were not working out of their homes at that time. And so the league was a very, very important part of what they were involved in. I think there were more than 100 members. And I researched all this in the archives at Yolo County Archives in Woodland, and also at the Davis Public Library on the microfiche.
Okay, wow, that's pretty nice. Do you have a favorite memory while working with the league?
Well, my favorite memory was, and I was a president in 2021. So that's 10 years ago. And at that time, the so that's the anniversary, 20 was in the 90th anniversary of the League of Women Voters. And so we put on a big, that's when I did a lot of research. We put on a big, big event in Central Park. It turned out to be the hottest day of the summer. So people who came there were really, really faithful people or, very curious about the league. We've had a very large exhibit. We put panels on the big platform under the oak tree in Central Park. Uh-huh. I think you know what I'm talking about there.
Yeah.
Okay. And we had a microphone. The panels, we enlarged photographs of early suffragettes in Yolo County. And we had clippings from newspapers enlarged also, so people could walk around and look at the panels. And then we had a speaker speaking system set up. So Don Saylor was one of our speakers. I was one of the speakers explaining the history of Yolo County voters. So the history, which I found out, was some states voted, allowed women to vote earlier than the national voters' rights for women. So California was one of those states. So in 1911, it came up to vote, could women vote in California, which was very critical because many people thought women should stay at home and they should not be involved in politics. That was strictly for men. The women didn't know enough about politics to be, be responsible. Okay. So it came up to the fact that it ended in Northern California, right here in Yolo County. We were some of the deciding voters because it was very, it got to the point at like midnight on the day of the election that it was not going to pass for women to vote in California. And then votes came in from Northern California, which made the deciding difference. So I feel very proud of all the women and men in Yolo County that helped just get enough votes for so California women could vote in 1911.
Wow.
That yes, it's like, a very exciting story.
Yeah, like sounds like
quite it really cute. Is.
Yeah. So was the year 1911 or was that?
Well, that's when women got to vote.
Oh, okay.
Naturally, women did not get to vote until 1920.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the 100th year.
Okay.
So, anniversary, okay. Which is very important.
Right.
Anniversary for all the women who can now vote.
Mm-hmm.
For 100 years. Okay.
Wow. Was it this July then?
What?
Was it this July that this event happened?
Was it what?
Was it this July that when this event happened?
August.
Oh, okay. So
I think it's August 26th. I'm not totally.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure, I don't remember. I have all of the papers are now in the archives in Woodland.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them for the local league are at the Harriet Weber Museum here in Davis. They were very happy to get a lot of our records and the minutes of the meetings and the members and the clippings from the newspapers. And in the beginning, the local league, they had huge scrapbooks because they publicized everything. And so the scrapbooks are there at the Hattie Weber Museum in downtown Davis.
Okay, that's good to know.
Uh-huh.
Nice. Was there a difficult aspect of your line of work while in the league?
What number is that one?
That's number 6.
Well, one of the things is, now, Jean Canary, we have a lot of people, women and men in Davis, who have been very active in the league for, many, 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 many years. Even some go back to 1958, okay? Not very many anymore. So One of the things is candidates night. We always presented candidates night. So any, you know, for the city council or for the supervisors. So trying to get all the candidates there on a certain night, I was not really one of the persons who had to do that, but that was really a difficult thing, getting the date in the city council chambers to round up all these different candidates. And we wouldn't do it unless everyone could come. Okay, so you can see how complicated that was. The other thing, initiatives on the ballot, okay? So, and propositions. So we had to have both parties, Democratic and pros and cons for each. We had to have a representative from both sides. Otherwise, we would not have a discussion on that particular issue. So that's the nonpartisan aspect of League of Women Voters that I think appeals to everybody. You can go and you can get straight information, actual information on the spot. After TV, after the meetings could be televised and the city, then fewer people came to those meetings, but we hope that our local television station, you know, that was on there and anyone could watch at that time too. And then there was always a newspaper reporter present also.
Okay. Was that in Davis then? Or
yes, right here in Davis City Council. You can still, the league is, okay, so the league currently is very active also in doing that. It's all online now when they present something, when they have a lot of different kinds of speakers, but they're very active in doing all that.
Okay. And do you know what year this was in?
What is it?
Yeah, do you know what year when you were doing the Davis City Council?
Is this what number of question is this?
Oh,
one?
This is just, I'm just adding.
I'm adding
a question
okay,
to it.
Okay, so what is this again?
Do you remember what year that Davis City Council you were working with? Like what year it was?
The year when what?
When you were working with the Davis City Council and the ballots.
Oh, that was ongoing all the time ever been participating in league work. Yes, it's one of the major activities of the league is presenting this information, and then for the state, league is a national, and it's also has a national organization and a state organization and local organizations. So the state puts out for any initiative or propositions. The Pros and Cons is a very handy publication called Pros and Cons. And so I used to be at this farmer's market with other league members during the election years. And we would register voters, but we would also hand out the Pros and Cons. So the Pros and Cons were very popular because people wanted to know who the backers of a certain initiative really are and where the money is coming from and what the motivation for having this initiative on the ballot, what that motivation is. Okay, who's going to benefit from that? Okay, so people really depend on the league to present that information, that printed information. And I haven't looked it up online. It's probably online also this last year. But the league, in order to get that information, they have a study group that very diligently researches everything. And so that's why Pros and Cons is a dependable source of information for voters.
Okay. Is that the area you mostly worked on then?
Is it what?
Is that the area you mostly worked on when you were working with the league?
Well, that was I don't get the verb there. Is this a what?
Was the talking about pros and cons? was that like your main job with the league or what you worked with?
Yeah, signing up voters, you mean? Registering voters?
No, like talking about the pros and cons.
Oh, yes. Well, people would stop by. We had to get to the farmer's market very early in the morning to get a good spot there, okay, mm-hmm. for our table and our tent. And so that's what people like to talk about, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, the candidates also, if you've been there, candidates have their own booths all along the street there, mm-hmm. okay, next to the farmer's market. So we were we always put up a table for registering voters. Now, the thing about registering voters is, I know there's a set question in here, mm-hmm. about students. So people who voted for many years know if they move that they have to re-register. But the thing about students, they're not aware of that. So even that was one of the things that was important to instruct students was of the fact that if they move from one side of Davis to another side, they have to re-register because they're in a different voting area. So that, since I was also a poll worker, we had to cope with people who were in the wrong spot for voting, okay? So that's a crucial thing. Anytime somebody moves, they do have to re-register.
Okay. Is that the advice you would give to young people?
That's the advice for young people, yes.
That's some good advice, yeah.
Yes.
Let's see. We can do question number 7. What accomplishments are you most proud of? Or do we do that one? Do we do that one already?
What number is this one?
7.
Oh, well, one of the things I'm very proud of, the league always had a newsletter, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the old newsletters came out on mimeograph. And they are in the archives at Hattie Weber, okay? But of course, mimeograph kind of fades over time. But then we moved to print. So when I was before I was the president, also during the time I was the president, I was the editor of the newsletter. By that time, of course, I go down to the copy shop and have them printed out, and then we had to mail them. So and then one year, a student from Da Vinci was very interested in the league. And she said, what can I do? I'd really like to do something with the league. And I said, okay, you can help with the newsletter. And she said, that's perfect. So she changed the format dramatically, improved it, you know, brought it up to date. It was much more, let's say, attractive. Okay. And then we got compliments on our wonderful newsletter. So I was very proud of the newsletter, and I personally enjoyed reading the news from the California League of Women Voters and from the National League of Voters, and deciding, you know, what goes into the newsletter in addition to the local news. Wow. So now that all of that, if you want to, you know, there's a major difference in the question of what's different. Everything is online now. Mm-hmm. Everything. So that's a fantastic difference.
Right. Okay. Is it everything online, even though, is it because of
COVID? The national and the state? Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I think that also probably appeals now more to young people. Mm-hmm. You can go online and you can look up all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great, I think that will definitely, and you helped with the social media, I understand.
Yeah, I helped create a video.
Anderson.
Yeah,
okay.
I created a video.
So she appreciated that very much. And I think that is going to be make a major difference, because how many young people read the newspaper? Probably not very many. Mm-hmm. So, but on social media, that's a huge change. And it's a huge way of contacting all ages, but especially young people who are, that's, you know, that you're so used to doing all that, that that's what you expect to do.
Right. Yeah. Do you think it has, do you think social media has helped League of Women Voters, like, vote, voice be more out there? Do you think...
Is that a question or a comment?
Wait, like, a question.
Talk a little louder.
Do you think, like, League of Women Voters, like, being online, is it... Do you think they're more able to, like, voice, like, more information and, like, give out more information and, like, spread the word about voting and registration and giving out information, like, being able to be online?
Well, of course, one thing on social media, you get different things which are factual and other things which are not factual, okay? Right. So if you're on, anyone on social media has to have some reference of what is a fact here and what is something made up, just made up, no basis for it whatsoever. So that's a critical factor. You can always depend on the league that whatever they say, it is a fact with resources, research behind every single thing they do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nonpartisan.
Right.
The league actually was the first, the presidential debates, I think it started with the league in Nixon's time. It was a really well-run kind of debate, so that both sides had to have a certain question and they had to answer the question. What goes on now as a debate is so totally different. It's not really a debate in the sense of really obtaining accurate information from each person.
Right.
So it's, yeah. it kind of got taken over by the networks and it changed completely. So that was, but anyway, the league started that.
So they started like the presidential debates then?
Or? Can you just talk a little louder?
So the league started the presidential debates.
What is it again?
Did the league start the presidential debates?
Yes, they started the presidential debates.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was during the term of Nixon.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We can go down to question 10. What do you think Girl Scouts should do in this area?
Okay. So I'm a Girl Scout. I was a Girl Scout in Woodland, which is very important. And then I went to Girl Scout camp, Camp Chaparral in Big Sur, which I, for several years, I really liked it a lot. And then I went to, we had our own local timber tarn. So I was helped with the Girl Scouts at camp, our own Yolo County Girl Scout camp, when I was in high school. And then, but I only went through Girl Scouts as far as freshman year in high school. Did not go beyond that. Then my own children, two daughters, I thought they would be in Girl Scouts, but then 4-H is very active in Davis, so they're 4-H. Mm-hmm. I think all of the record keeping that I loved working on the badges.
Yeah.
All the birds and the stars and, so I was very eager to do all of those things on Girl Scouts. And then I think that the thing that really has to happen is that students have to practice voting. It's like practicing something else. And they should be given the opportunity in high school, in the classroom, to go into a voting booth, have an actual ballot, read it, and cast a vote. So they actually have the experience. It's not some vague kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the so it's, I think people have to just, you know, young people have to practice, okay, and realize it's not just the president, of course, is extremely important. But then there are all the state officials from Davis. We've had quite a few people in the legislature. And then there are also the local people, the Board of Supervisors, this is the Board of Education, then the city council members. So when I was there at the farmers market, I realized, okay, some people are not interested in so much in the local. If they just moved here, they don't know what's going on. So I always said, okay, it doesn't matter if you don't have to vote on every single thing. You can read up, you can find out the answers to your questions. The main thing is to vote on what really concerns you. Vote, because that is your voice. Now, one morning when I was there at the farmer's market, there was a booth next to our table, and there was a young woman advocating something at her table. And so I said something, "Are you registered?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Oh, well, you know, do you want to register?" She says, "No." She says, "I don't have to vote." So it sort of took my breath away, because I have a different attitude about it. So at the time, I did not know really what to say, okay? Mm-hmm. But now I would say, well, what if you could not vote? What if you could not? What would you do? Would you do anything? Because her attitude is, I don't have to vote, so why should I vote? I don't have to. I think it's a responsibility, duty. It's, of course, it's a privilege. But it took women 78 years to get from 1848 till 1920.
Yeah.
To get the right to vote. It's a serious matter. Not only for women, it took black men a while also. Mm-hmm. Women were upset that they didn't get included in that particular amendment. So it's really, really important that people participate in a democracy. This is a democracy. If we don't participate, it will not continue to be a democracy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Definitely. So do you think Girl Scouts should have people practice voting, or like encourage people to practice voting or practice their democracy and register?
Wait, I'm not getting everything you're asking me there. Okay. What is it?
I'm saying, like, so should Girl Scouts practice voting and encourage other people to practice voting, and like maybe like create a campaign of like young people to like practice voting?
Well, since now you're a Girl Scout in high school,
yeah,
that, you know, you're at a level there that you have a great deal of influence.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that anyone can do is go house to house and take information house to house. I've done that, and it's really very interesting, because you get to talk to people who have different points of view. I think it's important for Girl Scouts to have, you know, a point of view, to develop their own. Each person needs to develop their own point of view based on some facts. You know. So Girl Scouts can get involved in civic activities. Of course, you know that. I'm sure your other Girl Scouts do that also.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yes, because you're part of a community. The really wonderful thing about Davis is that it's a very strong, it's not too large a community, and people can really feel that they belong, and that they can do something in their community, whatever it is that they think would improve the life of people in this community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. You can do something and you can see the effects of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool about it.
It's different from living in New York City, okay?
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
But also we have a very good newspaper here, so mm-hmm. that helps.
I just want to confirm a couple things. So for number 7, the most the accomplishment you're most proud of was like,
Wait, you have to talk a little louder for me. I do have some hearing loss.
Okay, that's okay. So going back to question number 7, I want to confirm that your most proudest accomplishment was working with, did you work with a Da Vinci student for the with the newsletter?
No, I still did not get it, Shirley.
Okay. Going back to number questions.
Is it one on the list?
Yeah.
What number is it?
Number 7. And I just want to confirm a couple facts.
Oh, well, that was about the newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Did you work?
I was very proud of it.
Yeah, did you work with the Da Vinci student?
Of being the editor.
Oh, you edited.
So I think that you, it sounds like you are interested in communication skills, okay? And so I certainly encourage you, okay? Because it is, you know, putting things out in a way that you hope other people will respond to, connect with, is, you know, a vital way of being influential in your community.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Putting things in the newspaper. Yeah, we put things in the newspaper too.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Did you work with the Da Vinci student?
What?
Did you work with the Da Vinci student?
Say it the third time.
Did you work with the student that edited the newspaper, like the newsletter?
Well, I of course take the paper, but I think it has fewer and fewer people, unfortunately, are taking newspapers. They're getting more news online.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's where the league is. The local league is very much online. And now with COVID, they have the, you know, the different kinds of Zoom meetings, like we're having a Zoom meeting, which I think is very exciting, Jayla.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. I think it's fantastic that we can get together like this. It really is a wonderful feeling and a wonderful experience.
Right, yeah. I guess going down to question number 11, is there anything else you would like to tell me for question
number 11? Well, I'm just looking through my notes here, okay. Okay, I think we've covered everything that I was thinking about. So okay. Especially if you could not vote, what would you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because a lot of women suffered. There's a movie called Iron-Jawed Women.
Mm-hmm.
And they were... this is timely, actually, okay? This is in the 1918, 1919s, okay? There was a flu epidemic. The Spanish flu mm-hmm. was raging at that time, just the way we have now, COVID-19. And women were trying to get the passage of the amendment for women to vote. So they were outside the White House picketing in all kinds of weather. Eventually they were arrested for disturbing the peace or something of that kind of thing and put in jail. And then they went on, they decided they wouldn't eat. Alice Paul decided she wouldn't eat. So then she was force fed.
Mm.
And eventually this kind of information got out to the public. So women have really put their lives in jeopardy, okay, for the point of making it possible for women to vote.
Right, yeah.
Yes. So I read a lot about the different Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan B. Anthony. Yes, at the time I was president, because of course I wanted to know all of that. And in Seneca Falls, even though I lived in Albany, New York, and Seneca Falls is not too far away, I didn't realize the importance of Seneca Falls. That's where it happened with Elizabeth Cady Stanton in 1848.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really
so it's a fascinating history.
Yeah, it is really interesting.
Yes, wow. Of the suffragettes and the British suffragists also.
Oh, you were?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's cool.
You want to be really inspired.
Yeah.
Look up any of these women because they were really dedicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
This is not on the list, but what year did you join the league?
What year did I join the league?
Yeah.
It must have been 1961, about 1962.
Okay. Were you living in New York then?
That's when I was living in New York.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then are you a member today still, or are you retired from your role?
From New York?
No. Are you a member now, or are you retired from the league now?
Well, the thing is that at that time, the league only takes a position on something, let's say water quality or climate change or that, you know, major subjects, national subjects, international subjects, after they have very carefully studied something.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole process of studying that the league uses is very important. Anyone can join the league. I'm sure you can be a league member too.
Yeah.
And participate in some of these studies.
Mm-hmm.
And then publicizing. It looks like you like to publicize things.
Yeah.
So
that's a good observation.
We need people who will publicize. Yes.
Yeah. Are you still part of the league now?
Am I still active?
Yeah, or are you a member still? Are you still a member?
Oh, yes, I have a membership. I will always have a membership.
Okay, awesome.
Okay.
Do you still, like, participate in meetings?
Well, the value of a membership is it's not just the local league benefits, but the state league benefits, the national league benefits. So, there's a voice for the in legislation for the league. Yes.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay. Are you still an active member? Would you say you're inactive? You're still active, or
what is it?
Do you think you're still active in the league, or not as active?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, are you still active in the league?
I'm really in here, but I don't hear.
Are you still active in the league?
Am I active now?
Yeah.
No, I'm less active now, but I do inform people at the university retirement community. We used to have meetings here a long time ago. You know, not too long ago. We would have monthly meetings in here. Mm-hmm. Originally, when it started in Davis, meetings were in different members' homes. But then we moved to public places like the public library, places like that for the board meetings. Anyone can come to a board meeting.
Right. Okay, that's awesome that you're still informing people.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
So there are league members at the University Retirement Community.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other people that maybe they don't belong, but they're interested. They rely on the league for information. Mm-hmm. So the other thing I really enjoyed, this is not connected with the league especially, but the reason I became a poll worker is one of the league members says, why don't you become a poll worker, Joe? So I said, okay, I'll be a poll worker. So then I was a poll worker at St. Martin's for quite a few years. A lot of there are a lot of permanent residents in that area, but there were also a lot of students in that area. So I really enjoyed being a poll worker, and you can be a poll worker too. High school students can be poll workers.
Oh, really? Okay. So
if Girl Scouts want to be poll workers, all you have to do is sign up and you can be a poll worker. It's a very important and very interesting job. So I recommend that highly, okay?
Yeah, that's good
for
to
Girl
know.
Scouts to be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did have, usually one, there are four people. Usually one of them was a high school student.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So they really need, now it's been changed. This year was different. You know, more mail-in voters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is something that was very interesting also. Yolo County, we decided it was in, I think, toward the end of, well, when I was president, so that's 10 years ago, we decided to investigate mail-in voting. And because we thought that was a good idea, and the person here, the county register of voters, said she was all for it. And so we looked to Oregon, because Oregon had started mail-in voting about in the 1980s, something like that. First, they started in one county, another county, and then the whole state. They've had mail-in voting for, what would it be, 20 years or so. So Marika Yamada said, yes, she would sponsor whatever we needed to have mail-in voting for Yolo County. And so it was just for any kind of local elections. So it really never amounted to much, actually. But now you can see what mail-in voting is, how big it is this year, especially for COVID. So the mail-in voting is a certainly reliable system for voting. Every ballot is there. You can count it as many times as you want to count it. There's no possibility of error. So, and the checking of the signatures is all very carefully done. So as far as the current president saying this fraud, that's totally misleading information. Mail-in voting is as safe as anything could possibly be.
Mm-hmm. Right. Awesome. Okay. I think that's all the questions I have for you.
So that's a lot.
Yeah, you gave me so much information. Thank you so much.
A lot. I think we explored the territory quite well.
Yeah.
There are other things, but I think as far as Davis goes, I could say one more thing, like water quality. Years and years ago, when I first moved here, Cache Creek was a big subject. And so mining on Cache Creek, the Woodland League was working on that at the time. Should the county supervisors allow mining of gravel, which is a very important commodity, on Cache Creek, because it changes the water. The gravel helps filter the water for the aquifer, which we all depend on here in Yolo County, for the wells. So I attended some of the supervisors' meetings where they had, you know, water quality specialists from UC Davis appearing. And then league members would say what they had researched. I took a tour of Cache Creek at that time, full of league members on the bus. So that just gives you an example of how thorough league members are. They really are serious about getting the facts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And awesome. Presenting it to the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah. That's really good to know.
So I hope you hope that you will always be a League member.
Yeah.
Because there's so many benefits, and you make a big contribution also to your community, wherever you are, mm-hmm. large or small.
Right. Well, thank you so much. You gave me so much information, and I'll send you the write-up as soon as I can. And so you can check it. Yeah.
And long live the Girl Scouts, too.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a wonderful organization from brownies on up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jaylee, for doing this.
Yeah.
And for contributing, making your contribution to the League of Women Voters of Davis.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll send you the everything. So.
Okay.
Have a good rest of your week.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.